thank you for doing all the hard work. It's wonderful to see you all digging deep and talking about the passage. My name is Rosalie Johansson, and I just want to tell you a little bit about me before I begin. My husband, Alan, and I have been here at CPC since we've been married, which is 33 years now. And we're currently serving at the South Campus, helping to plant that part of our church and really enjoying that. And I'm a table leader back at table four. Woo, table four. And we have three adult children, Lauren, who is 28, Michael, 25, and CJ, 23. For years, I've been an elementary school teacher, teaching first and second grade mostly, children with language-based learning differences, such as dyslexia. And this year, I came out of the classroom, staying in my same school, but I'm an instructional coach, so I'm mentoring and teaching new teachers, and I'm coming alongside our other teachers there, first through fourth grade. And I'm really enjoying it. It's a new adventure for me, but it's been really exciting. So today we're focusing on the Queen of Sheba, and I'm excited to share with you what the Lord has given me about this wealthy, strong woman. But before we begin, I would like to pray. So will you join me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for being our true source of wisdom. And thank you for allowing us to come to you, to be in your presence, the presence of the Almighty King of Glory, and to be able to seek your wisdom. Jesus, I praise you that your wisdom is so great that it can take our breath away. And I thank you that you are the giver of great gifts, and we can never, ever outgive you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Will you bless our time together, Lord Jesus? In your name I pray. Amen. Well, life is hard, isn't it? And life forces us sooner or later to ask hard questions. So where do you go for the answer to those questions? For wisdom, timeless wisdom. You know, the queen came to Solomon with lots of questions. She was seeking wisdom. What questions are you asking, and of who? Where are you seeking? Here in the Bay Area, in California in general, wisdom and knowledge is very important to us. We're very interested to know what university you went to. We look to celebrities to find out what they think and what they do. We seek advice from spiritualists, from self-help books, from everything online, and from one another. Well, I would like you to take a look at this presentation, thinking about what questions am I asking?
God is law.
I've never heard that before.
Total. God to me is mystical law, because law is the nature of the universe. It is
the order of things.
The order. It's universal. It is consistent. It is the nature of life, and the negotiating principle with mystical laws is prayer. I'm not sentimental about God. I do not personalize God with emotion, like love, and I don't go there.
And God's not a he or
no,
a her?
No,
or...
no. It's a complete legal, transcendent, cosmic
force.
One more slide. Or is it the Word of God that you're seeking wisdom? We know that wisdom is the main focus of this passage. We've seen that word eight times just in the reading we had. What's fascinating about wisdom is it's active. It involves hearing, listening, traveling far, inconvenience, cost, asking questions, and seeing, really seeing. And there's also the word all used 7 times in this passage. And there was much generous giving on both sides. In this passage, we'll see how we can gain wisdom from our Lord as we seek him, just like the Queen of Sheba did. So let's unveil our queen. She's number 28 out of 38 women of the Old Testament. Isn't she a sight? She's so beautiful. She's got her jewels and her color. And she brought a lot of gold. And she brought a lot of precious stones. She brought a lot of wonderful textiles, because they were traders of that. And spices. We've got some rock salt, and we've got some cinnamon and rosemary. You notice the rosemary on your table, right? And she brought a lot. So this wealthy woman was something else. And she's going to teach us a beautiful dance, the dance of seeking wisdom. You ready? Ask hard questions. Respond with all you have. Ask hard questions. Respond with all that you have. So today we have 3 divisions, and we're going to start with seeking his wisdom, verses 1 to 3. Division 2, breathless by his wisdom, verses 4 to 9. And we'll end with lavish responses to his wisdom, verses 10 to 25. This is a full passage, full of questions, full of wisdom, full of answers, full of gifts, and full of praise for God. So let's get started on Division 1, seeking his wisdom. Well, 2 weeks ago, we ended our Bathsheba lesson with King Solomon at the front of his reign in Israel. So now, as we're privy to his encounter with the Queen of Sheba, we'll see him a little farther on in his reign as the King of Israel. So take a look at 1 Kings 10, starting at verse 1. When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with her hard questions. Scholars say that Sheba is probably modern-day Yemen. Some say it's Ethiopia. You can see here on the map, it is a long ways from Jerusalem. The people of Sheba are described as a caravan people in the book of Job, known as traders of incense, precious stones, gold, and textiles. So that's why we have all this beautiful stuff here for you. This queen came a long, long way to seek the wisdom of Solomon. Yemen, or Ethiopia, is at least 1,200 miles away, some depending, say, 15 to 16, from Jerusalem. She was actively seeking wisdom. There are a lot of action words here. She was not a passive woman. She was not just a sit around and be beautiful kind of queen. Have you ever noticed how those who seem to have the most are often searching the most? She has power, position, pomp, money, good food, with all those spices. She had servants and jewels, and yet she wasn't satisfied. She was seeking more to life than she has currently. She had heard about Solomon's wisdom and his relationship to his God. This suggests that she had some God questions, not just life questions. She was listening and probably asking questions of the people around her in her area. But she did not believe all that they were telling her. She wanted to go to Solomon herself and ask about his God. So she packed up, or I guess all of her servants packed up, all that stuff, and made that 1,200-mile journey. On a side note, if Solomon's wisdom and his relationship with the Lord was known at least 1,200 miles away from Jerusalem, what does that say about his life? What does that say about his sphere of influence? Do people around me know about my God? Do people that I work with even know that I serve God? This has really spurred me on to really think about asking the Lord to help me in my faith so that my sphere of influence grows. Solomon was sharing about his God, be it in the unspoken voice of his life, be it in the way he winsomely gave credit to God. Somehow he made it clear. It was the God of Israel who supplied him with the wealth and the wisdom that he had, and people were talking about it, even 1,200 miles away. I realized while studying this lecture that wisdom is not just pouring knowledge into my head, but it's to be shared with other people. I can picture a wise old grandmother sitting on the porch talking with her granddaughter, sharing life with her, sharing godly wisdom with her about how to live and how to respond when life gets hard. Sometimes we best see wisdom when it's lived out. It's hard to define, isn't it? But it's recognizable in someone's life. If it's just head knowledge, then it isn't wisdom. Sharing what we know as truth with others is wisdom. So that's why I put at the bottom of your handout, we only know wisdom when it's shared. Wisdom requires action, not just knowledge. Well, back to our queen. She came to test him, it says, with hard questions. She wasn't traveling over 1,000 miles just to visit him. She wanted those questions answered, and she had hard questions for him. She had heard the reports in her country, but later in the passage we hear that she didn't believe them. She was a wise woman. She wanted to come and see for herself and test him herself. Many people hear about the wisdom of God, but not many are willing to journey far to see for themselves if it is true. I'm sure that many of you can relate to the Queen of Sheba here. You are seeking. You have questions. Some of you may have come right here to WBS because you wanted some of your God questions answered. And I say, praise God for you and your seeking heart. You're willing to come and find out for yourself about God. Some of you may have been brought here by a friend or maybe dragged, but it's not by mistake that you're here. God has brought you here to allow you a safe place to ask your questions, to share your doubts, and to seek his wisdom. Keep asking your questions. Look at verse 2. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. This was not an easy journey, not a quick journey, but an amazing journey. And wisdom is a long journey, a hard journey. We want it fast, but it takes time. And it takes seeking. Well, the queen's journey took a lot of packing and a lot of unpacking. Experts say that a camel caravan could cover 18 to 20 miles in a day. So this journey took at least 60 to 68 days. This was a determined woman, a strong queen. She was seeking truth and she was not going to be dissuaded. She had questions and she wanted them answered. She was willing to go above and beyond the norm to find the answers, even experience inconveniences, and invest much time and money in her quest for truth, timeless truth. Her caravan had to stop nightly and unpack all that a queen would need to spend the night. Can you imagine what that would have taken? On a much smaller scale, many of you commute each week to WBS in Bay Area rush hour traffic. What a journey it is sometimes, isn't it? After a long day at work, some of you get dinner, you get your kids settled, then you fight that traffic on 101 to get here. And I say, God bless you, because you put the effort in to being here each Wednesday to hear the wisdom of God. And the Queen of Sheba, she had to carve out a chunk of time to gain that wisdom. Don't we have to do the same? You spend time in your Bible study. You read the Word of God. It takes that. Well, looking at verse 2, did you notice it said she talked with Solomon about all of her questions that were on her mind? Well, I don't know about you, but I always have way too many questions for my man. And for most conversations that I'm in, if you know me well, it is so hard for me just to listen and not ask questions in the middle. You can ask my kids about that. But our queen here, she brought all of her questions, all of her hard questions to Solomon, and bless his heart, he didn't mind. It wasn't too much for him. And you know what's great? Our God is the same. He welcomes our questions. He's okay with our doubts. He never tires of a seeking heart. Well, recently, my daughter Lauren told me about a conversation that she heard on K-Love Radio. Some DJs were talking about their doubts and their questions. And one of them said that he felt like having his doubts showed his faith. Because before he became a believer, he didn't have any questions. He knew what he knew. He was secure in what he thought. And when he became a follower of Christ, he started having a lot of questions, a lot of doubts. And he expressed how having those doubts, but yet still believing and trusting in God, showed that he had faith. And he had faith even though he didn't have the answers to all of those God questions. Well, back to our queen. We saw how polite she was, how she followed protocol by bringing him gifts. This queen was a wealthy woman, and she brought him spices, which even today, think about those tiny little bottles, right? It's a lot of money for those tiny little bottles. Have you ever looked to see how much per pound it is? It's amazing. So she brought more spices than had ever been brought into Jerusalem. She brought him large quantities of gold and precious stones. She did not come empty-handed. She gave generously to him so she could get her questions answered. She was full of gifts and full of questions for Solomon. Well, let's read on. Look at verse 3. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. Don't you love that? He answered all of her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall and listen to their conversations? Being a queen, she would have been well educated, but she did not grow up knowing Jehovah, the great I Am, the God of Solomon. She had heard about his relationship with God, but she didn't know his God. Solomon would have had to start at the very beginning. He must have talked to her about creation, about the garden, about Adam and Eve's fall into sin, and that sin gene that was passed on. He must have told her about the Savior that was promised right away in Genesis 3:15. He would have had to explain to her how God chose Abraham to be the father of his people so a nation could be blessed in knowing God. He would have had to talk to her about the 12 patriarchs, about his law, about his temple, sacrifices of animals, and how that was to pay the debt that we owed for our sin until the Messiah would come, until the blood of the Lamb of God would be shed once and for all. He knew God. He had true wisdom, and he was able to tell her all about it, explain everything to her. And it says that she was fully satisfied. Nothing she threw at him stumped him. And this brings us to our first truth. God loves all of my questions, no matter how doubtful I am, and no matter how many I ask. God loves all of my questions, no matter how doubtful I am, and no matter how many I ask. Well, this first truth doesn't mean that God answers all of our questions on our time schedule, right? And it also doesn't mean that he answers all of our questions on this side of heaven. But he loves our questions, no matter how doubtful we are and no matter how many we ask. Scripture teaches us to seek him and we'll find him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. So let me ask you, are you passively taking in what is around you, or are you actively seeking true godly wisdom? And how would someone today actively seek his wisdom? Well, first, I think, would be to study the Word of God, which you are doing, right? We're here every Wednesday. Secondly, studying the Word of God on your own, digging deep for the answers to those God questions that you have. Third, prayer is a great way to seek godly wisdom. Talk to him. He wants to give you his wisdom. Number four, another way to actively seek godly wisdom is being in the body. So hang out with other wise, godly people. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." So enjoy conversations about our Lord as you get together. Share the truths that you know in Scripture as you get together for lunch or on Saturdays. Encourage one another in your faith. Number five, going to church is another great way to actively seek wisdom. Find a church where the Word of God is preached and you're drawn to know more about our Lord Jesus and his true wisdom. And number six, Christian counselors are another great way to actively seek wisdom. Some of our hard questions really need to be brought into a counseling situation. Take advantage of the wise counsel of a Christian therapist or a lay counselor. Well, I grew up in a neighborhood that was not highly educated. My parents, unfortunately, were so poor that they didn't even finish grade school because work was more important for survival than education. But they encouraged all of us growing up to do our best and to finish high school. There was a special teacher in my grade school that planted the seed for me to even consider going to college. I was the only child in my family to ever attend college, and I completed my master's in education when Mike, our son, was a newborn. And because of my work on this lecture, the Lord has really convicted me of my pride. I've prided myself on being more wise. I've prided myself on being better educated than my siblings and my family. And I've had to confess that to my Lord. We raised our kids just like most of the people in the Bay Area. You're expected to go to college. No questions. It's what it is. We jumped on the bandwagon of everybody else around us. We were concerned about what schools they went to. We fretted over their high school choices, about their test scores. I was confusing education with wisdom. I'm so thankful I married Alan for many, many reasons. But one of them is the fact that he brought us here to CPC. And over the last 33 years, I've begun to see more and more what it means to truly have godly wisdom. It doesn't matter what school you attend. It doesn't matter what degree you hold. True wisdom comes from God Almighty. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I don't claim to have it all together. I don't have all the answers. I have not arrived in my spiritual journey, but I know who the source of true wisdom is, and that's Jesus Christ. So let's look at our second division. Breathless by his wisdom, verses 4 to 9. When the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. Wisdom is not just cerebral, not lofty and super spiritual. Wisdom's practical. It's noticeable in the warp and the weave of our lives. Solomon's godly wisdom was evident in all the areas of his life. And the queen was breathless by what she saw and what she heard. The word overwhelmed here actually means it took her breath away. In some of your translations, it says there was no more spirit in her, which means the same thing. It took her breath away. In my vernacular, she was blown away. Have you ever experienced that? Something so amazing, something so wonderful that it takes your breath away? Well, let's look at each area that's listed here. The palace. Can you imagine what that was like? Historians and scripture say that he was the richest man in the world. A few years back, we traveled to Denmark. We saw some amazing castles. But there was one that was so incredible. It was overwhelming. The gold, the silver, the tapestries, the paintings, the inlaid woods. My eyeballs got tired of looking at all the stuff. It was so overwhelming. I was blown away by the opulence there. So, you architects, you interior designers, never underestimate how God's wisdom is noticed in your creativity and in the skill in furnishing a place. The food. Have you ever been to a restaurant or a banquet and been amazed at the spread of food? Or been to a friend's house and just the way she arranged the table and how she created what she did? The food that she prepared was lavish? Well, you chefs, you hostesses with the gift of hospitality, never underestimate how he's seen in the labor of your culinary gifts. Seating of the officials. Have you ever seen the changing of the guard in London? Have you ever seen our Senate or our House of Representatives? They're all a picture of order, which has a taste of wisdom. So you CFOs out there, you CEOs, administrators, you managers, my hat's off to you for the way that his wisdom is displayed in your organizational skills. Attending servants in their robes. The queen was even breathless by how the servants were dressed. So any Downton Abbey fans out there like me? Don't you love the livery of the servants, the butler, all starched and beautiful? I love that. Well, you service-oriented women, you waitresses and flight attendants, never underestimate the display of God's wisdom in the way you serve the people around you. Cupbearers. A cupbearer, the servers of wine, need to know the intricacies of each grape and the quality of the wine. The Pinot Noir, the Chardonnay, the Merlot. They know how to match it with each course. But also, they had to taste the wine to make sure that no one had poisoned their master. Any sommeliers out there? Security guards? How about you mothers who graciously and sacrificially give and protect those in your care? Never underestimate the display of God's wisdom in your service. The temple. At the end of verse 5, it mentions the burnt offerings that he made at the temple. The queen was breathless by how Solomon worshiped his Lord. Some of your translations might say the steps or the ascent by which he went up to the temple, which refers to how he worshiped, how he sacrificed. Can you imagine somebody being breathless, being blown away in a good sense by how you worship the Lord? When we're singing worship songs, we can be swept away in sweet worship like we were tonight. We can be thrilled to study our WBS lesson and so excited to come and discuss it with our friends here. We can be moved at communion, moved to tears by what he has done for us on the cross. So those of you in full-time ministry, you behind-the-scenes volunteers, you who lead worship, you who serve communion on Sundays, never underestimate the wisdom of God displayed as you worship him in spirit and truth or serve others so that we can. So when it was all added up, she was breathless at God's wisdom. Look at verse 6 with me. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report that I heard." Remember how we talked about the news of Solomon reaching all the way down to Sheba, down to Yemen, 1,200 miles away? People all over the known world knew of his wisdom and wealth. Yet she did not believe it could be true. She didn't believe somebody could be that wise and that rich. So she made the effort to come and see with her own eyes. and not half was told. It was true. He was even more wise and wealthy than she had heard. And you know what excites me? That Colossians passage that you looked at. Colossians 2:2-3, it says, "In Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Our Lord Jesus, our Heavenly Father, is far greater than we can even imagine, far wiser than we can think. His ways are higher than our ways. Yet He is our God and wants us to come to Him with our hard questions and doubts. Don't you want to praise Him? And that's just what the Queen of Sheba did. Look at verse 8. "How happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, He has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." This is so sweet. After she catches her breath, after she's able to compose herself, the queen responds in praises to God, the God of Israel. She even describes how happy His officials and His servants are because of His great wisdom. Wisdom has a ripple effect. It trickles out in tangible ways to others. A wise leader has happy followers. And such a sight moves her to praises, but not praises to Solomon, but to Solomon's God. The queen heard about God's eternal love for Israel from Solomon. It appears that Solomon has not exalted himself. How many kings would do that? How many kings would say, "It's not because of me, it's because of God who put me on the throne"? Everyone around has heard it. She knows that God, in His sovereign love, put Solomon in his position to maintain justice and righteousness. And she was in awe. She was breathless. Which brings us to our second truth. God can take my breath away with His wisdom and give me a heart of praise. God can take my breath away with His wisdom lived out, unpacked in people's lives. And when I see it lived out, He gives me a heart of praise. So let me ask you, where have you seen his wisdom lived out in your life or in others' lives and cannot ignore that it is from God? His ways are not our ways. His ways are wise. I can sure tell you where I've seen His wisdom lived out, and it has blown me away. This year, I've been speechless quite a few times, crying and praising God for what He's done. My finite mind cannot comprehend the story that I'm going to tell you. And it's about my sweet Lauren. And she's given me permission to share this with you. These are her words. As I had written what I could see, and I shared it with her, and she gave me her words to fill in the blanks. When Lauren went off to college, she found herself separated for the first time from her comfortable faith community. She found it difficult and uneasy to find and enter into a new community, and instead found herself surrounded by the wisdom of the world. She soon began to question the wisdom of God and the truth that she knew as a child. She wasn't sure of her faith anymore, and that was even more uncomfortable. So rather than face those doubts, she was lured in by the world's wisdom and advice and the false truth that is out there. She was led astray from God's wisdom and eventually even turned to other spiritual teachings. For close to 10 years, she lived a life different from what we had taught her. The more that time passed, the more she questioned the truth of Scripture and questioned the sovereignty of God. And she chose not to speak to us about Jesus and about how He was the only way to God. But God, in His infinite wisdom, in His amazing timing, brought Lauren back to Himself, and it is blowing me away. God revealed Himself to her in his own incomprehensible way. He offered her the opportunity to stop running, stop searching, and admit that he is God. She still has questions, hard ones, that are unanswered. But she is resting in the fact that he is God, and he is sovereign, and she can trust him with her doubts. She doesn't have to have all of the answers, because God does. Accepting that God isn't scared by her questions has freed her to explore them. She is so hungry for true wisdom. She's actively seeking God and his truth, and she's giving praise to the God of the universe because she sees the wisdom that only he can bring. And it takes my breath away. And I praise my God for his work in her life. Maybe you have a prodigal who has left God's wisdom for the world's wisdom and has not yet returned. But is anything too hard for God? He is working even when we do not see it, and we need to praise him for what we know is true and hold on to the truth that he does act and he is sovereign and he will complete the work that he has started. Remember Manoah's wife, Samson's mother? Remember the truth we learned? Sometimes what I see going on in a loved one's life tests the promises I see in Scripture. Remember the dance she taught us? Trust what he tells us. Trust when we can't see what he's doing. Look carefully around you. Look for what God is doing in your life and in the lives of others. And praise him for his wisdom that is lived out. Let's look at division 3. Lavish responses to his wisdom. Let's begin reading at verse 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. When the queen of Sheba arrived in Jerusalem, we saw in verse 2 that she had given him the spices and large quantities of gold and precious stones. But here in verse 10, we see that she gave more in abundance. Could it be that she had given him some when she first arrived, but she held back some? And when she saw, and when she heard, and when she had the answers to her questions, that she gave even more to the king? It is possible. Why did God put verse 10 where he did, if that wasn't the case? Why did he mention her giving more to him? King Solomon didn't need anything. He was the richest man in the world. Yet she poured out lavishly upon him. She gave him more spices than had ever been brought to Israel. And do you want to know how much 120 talents of gold is? It's more than $3.5 million. The point is, she was lavish in her giving. She gave more than anyone had ever given. But now, watch. Look at verse 13. King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for, besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned with her retinue to her own country. This is amazing. I know I keep saying that, but it's amazing. After the queen of Sheba gives Solomon all those priceless gifts, he gives her all she desired and asked for, besides what he'd already given her earlier. So then she has all those servants pack up all that stuff again, all that stuff that Solomon lavished upon her, and they return home again, that long, long desert journey. Skip down to verses 23 and 24. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. Year after year, everyone who came brought a gift, articles of silver and gold, robes, weapons and spices, and horses and mules. Did you notice in verse 24? It tells us where Solomon got his wisdom. It was from God, right? God had put it in his heart, and he puts wisdom in our hearts too. All we need to do is ask, which brings us to our last truth. When he lavishes his true wisdom on you, you can't help but give lavishly back to him. When he lavishes his true wisdom on you, you can't help but give lavishly back to him. So let me ask, how are you giving lavishly back to him? With your treasures? With your money? With your talents and gifts? With your time? Well, I want to tell you about a lavish exchange between my sweet Lauren and her precious aunt, my dear sister-in-law, Evelyn. And they both have given me permission to share this with you. Almost 2 years ago, Evelyn lost her wonderful husband, Mark, to leukemia. His illness was a long and very difficult road for Evelyn and Mark to travel. We prayed and prayed for Mark's healing, and we trusted in God and asked him for his will to be done. And God, in his sovereignty, chose to take Mark home to heaven before we wanted him to. And it's been devastating for Evie and for their daughter Zoe and for our whole family. We mourn his loss. But our Lord is in control, and he's working even when we don't see it. God, in his amazing wisdom, has used Evelyn to bless the socks off of many people in her life. But now, we are the benefit of that. He's using her even more to bless our family, and in particular, our Lauren. God has used the pain in Evelyn's life and the pain and seeking in Lauren's life to bring them together in incredible ways. Evelyn's godly wisdom, her hospitality, her wonderful cooking, her laughter, and her just loving all over Lauren drew her back to a place where she could listen to what God wanted to say to her. And the Lord has used Lauren and her gifts of mercy and organization to help Auntie, to love on her, to help her clean out her house in Colorado and pack up all of her stuff and move back to the Bay Area. And the Lord is still using Evelyn to walk alongside Lauren as she navigates the questions and the doubts that continue to arise. And Lauren is still walking right alongside Auntie to help her walk through the pain of losing Uncle Mark. Evelyn has been blessed to be needed, and Lauren has been so blessed to give to her. It's such a joy to watch them as they serve one another, as they lavish love on one another. Sometimes it's sitting in silence and reading all day in Auntie's living room. Sometimes it's cooking all day together to make some wonderful, amazing meal that we all get to share in. And other times it's basking in his presence in church together. Who will you lavish with his love and his wisdom? As we close, don't listen to the enemy and do his dance of doubting God and distrusting his faithfulness, but remember the Queen's dance of seeking wisdom. Ask hard questions. Respond with all you have. Ask hard questions. Respond with all that you have. Continue seeking his wisdom. Continue digging deep into the Word of God by coming here to WBS and asking your hard questions. Your table that you're sitting at is a safe place for you to bring those doubts. Perhaps walking alongside a friend, a wise woman, or perhaps meeting with a counselor, you could ask those hard questions too. Be breathless by his wisdom. Let him take your breath away as you see him work in your life and others' lives. See where you can be used also. Lavishly give in response to his wisdom. Will you let the Lord use you with that neighbor, at your local school, at the senior center, or your church nursery? Has the Lord blessed you monetarily? If he has, give generously to his work in your church. Glorify him with your giving. He will continually fill you as you give out. You cannot outgive God. Will you close in prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being our God, the one and only true and wise God, the one that is all-knowing. Will you help us, Lord Jesus, to bring your to you our concerns? And right now, as we turn to our tables, Lord, I pray that these women would open up about their questions and their doubts, that they would know they're in a safe place and they can ask you for wisdom, Lord. Thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.